That bell means one thing and one thing only. It is time for the Crunch Exchange. Hi, everybody. Nick Rogers. It is time for the Crunch Exchange, where I bring up a prospectus from the world of sports, and Steve tells us if he is buying, if he is selling, or the often now used pending option. We begin with baseball that works in cycles, and everyone is trying to learn from someone else in the best possible ways to win a World Series. Zach Cram and Michael Bauman debated this on The Ringer on the Ringer MLB show yesterday, saying, what have we learned about the last four or five World Series winners? 2014 and 15 with the Royals showed us the importance of a shutdown bullpen. 16 and 17 with the Cubs and the Astros showed us that tanking actually can pay off. And in 2018, the Red Sox showed baseball world how to not give a damn about a farm system and you can still win. Dave Dombrowski, the now former Red Sox president of baseball operations, was in charge of many of the moves that landed the Sox, David Price, JD Martinez, Chris Sale, and was able to see the incredible value in Mookie Betts, who is now a top three player in baseball. The Red Sox fired Dombrowski because of their drop-off after that 2018 World Series title this year. They're not doing very good. Fans are clamoring at how poorly ranked the farm system is, despite having Xander Bogaerts, Rafael Devers, Andrew Benintendi, Jackie Bradley Jr., the aforementioned Mookie Betts, who are all under 29. That is a huge core of the future of this team that are not just starters, but they're also shining. Diving deeper into the moves that Dombrowski made as Pobo, and even the big haul of prospects he gave up for Chris Sale hasn't bitten him in the butt, and who would be saying no to having Chris Sale or David Price, seeing as the Red Sox got another World Series title in the 2000s because of them? Was one bad season really worth giving Dombrowski the axe? The prospectus, the Red Sox were wrong in firing Dave Dombrowski.
I think, and a lot is forgiven when you grab that ring like they did last year, but I don't know how much wiggle room they have. I mean, if these contracts, Sale, some of the others, are not panning out and ownership wants to not have a $300 million payroll, I don't really have an issue with this. I'm going to... So what was the prospectus again?
The Red Sox were wrong firing Dave
Dombrowski.
Yeah,
I'm going to sell that.
Sticking with baseball, some horrible, bad, rotten, no good news came from Milwaukee last night. 2018 MVP Christian Yelich will now miss the rest of the 2019 season with a fractured kneecap, which just about sounds like the worst thing ever. I first off learned that you can indeed break your kneecap, which I'm now forever going to be afraid of doing, and the second was the way it happened, which was also the worst. You've seen those guys that wear foot protectors, and sometimes they'll have them facing in to protect their ankle or their toes or whatever. Well, Christian Yelich is going to need a knee protector, maybe come up with just a catcher's leg pad on the next time. He took a 95-mile-per-hour pitch that was fouled directly into his planted right knee with nowhere for that energy to go but into the bone and break it. Yelich ends 2019 with 44 homers, hitting .329, 97 RBI, and trailing Cody Bellinger in WAR in the NL, and was also second in the home run race. The only thing going for him is that he did indeed get to that 40-homer, 30-base stolen club, so that's pretty cool. The Brewers are now just one game back of the Cubs for the second wild card spot and five back of the Cardinals for the Central. The prospectus, without Christian Yelich, the Brewers will still make the playoffs.
Somebody brought up a really good point today that not only is he their best player, but their second best player is not really like a superstar. It's, you know, not like when you're dealing with the Red Sox with some of their super duper stars, and you know, whether it's Judge and Sanchez and some of the bombers for the Yankees. I don't see it happening. I think it sucks, but they're not going to make it. So I think I'm going to buy that.
Wait, you're going to sell it? The Brewers will make
oh,
the
no,
playoffs.
I'm sorry. No, sell that. I don't see it. And I think it's horrible.
Since the MLB season is just about over in 2 weeks, we're very close into getting into award hot take season. The AL MVP is hands down Mike Trout's to lose, and if he doesn't win it, I propose we take all of the Baseball Writers Association of America that didn't vote for him and we throw them into a pool with their phone in their pockets. I mean, let's just get ahead of that right now. The closest race is going to be for American League Cy Young Award. The two leading contenders are both teammates on the Houston Astros, Garrett Cole and Justin Verlander. These two are either first or second or very close to each other in every major pitching category, and it should be considered cheating that the Astros got both of them via trade. Verlander leads American League pitchers in wins, ERA, WHIP, and innings pitched. On top of that, he has his third career no-hitter, and he's leading in a lot of the advanced pitching categories as well. Plus, he's freaking 36 years old. Cole hasn't been terrible. He struck out 281 batters in 184 innings. In 17 of his 29 starts this year, he struck out at least 10, and in his last 33 innings, which is his last five starts, he has 65 strikeouts, and he's still trailing Verlander in all of these categories when normally he'd be running away with it. They're both wizards, and trying to split hairs between the two of them is going to be impossible. Let's just hope that maybe in case Gerrit Cole does win, Cade Upton won't be unleashing a Twitter tirade again. The prospectus, Justin Verlander wins his second career Cy Young Award.
I actually want to hear another tirade on Twitter from Kate Potty Mouth Upton. I think he's the guy to beat. It's his. He shows no sign of slowing down, although Cole's been all that. So I'm on JV's bandwagon right now, so buy that.
Last one here. I jokingly brought it up on Monday, but it needs to be stated again. The Miami Dolphins are not very good. They're openly lying about tanking, and everyone is laughing at them about that. The players have figured out they are actually tanking, have asked to be traded away, and for some reason, there's still players that want to stay behind. They gave up 59 points to the Ravens in week one, and really, it wasn't even that close. Baltimore was inside the five when the game ended, and that's when the Dolphins made their lone tackle on Sunday, preventing them from giving up 60. They are 16-point home underdogs to New England this weekend. I think that's risen up to 19 now. They then take on Dallas on the road, who have one of the best front sevens in football. Then the Chargers come to town, who, despite their constant chargerness, have a great defense as well. The prospectus, the Miami Dolphins will score more than 60 points in the month of September. They so far have 10.
So they need to average 17 per game over the next 3 weeks. It's such an offensive game. As bad as they are, weather's not going to be a factor. The perspective was they will score over 60. This is a very, very, very to infinity, very tentative buy. I wouldn't bet it. The only reason I'm picking it is because you made me. We'll take a break, and we'll be back with Sports Talk next. 95.3, The Score.
What are we talking about, Sip?